O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. You restored me to health. All of us, at one time or another, are in need of healing. The healing we need can be of any kind. It can be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. But many of us only become aware that we are in need of healing after we have suffered a personal tragedy or loss. We may find ourselves overcome with grief and despair. Where do we turn for help? As Christians, we know that all life comes from God, and we also know that God is the source of all healing. Anyone who has ever prayed for healing for yourself or a loved one offers intercessions and then waits patiently in expectation for God to answer. Experience in prayer teaches us that we don't get to choose how or what that healing will look like. We trust in God. We trust that God hears us. And we trust that God will work in a person's life through family, friends, and even strangers. I had heard a report earlier this week, another pastor saying that his prayer group had said, "We get results." No, God gives results. Our prayer group here at St. John's will tell you that we don't give up. And as in the reading from Galatians this morning, we bear one another's burdens, and in this way we fulfill the law of Christ. We do pray for healing, and we do pray for miracles. But no matter what, in all situations, even in death, we look to find God's mercy, grace, and love. In today's gospel passage, 70 followers of Jesus who were sent out into the mission field to proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God returned to Jesus with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice, yes, but not in what has been done by God through you, but rather that you know and are known by God, and that you trust in God. In the Old Testament reading for today, we meet Naaman, a commander of the Aramean army. He was a powerful conqueror. He had power and prestige. And when we think of powerful people today, we don't often see their afflictions, the burdens that they carry. We don't see their personal pain or struggles. And if we do, they are often exploited as areas of weakness that can be used to vilify and overpower them. No one is perfect. Everyone has something that sets them apart or keeps them apart from others. Naaman had an affliction that not only impacted on him physically, but was a source of potential social isolation as well. He had a skin condition that is called in the Bible leprosy. But biblical scholars believe that leprosy, as we know it today, which is known as Hansen's disease, was unheard of in that time. It is believed that he had a skin condition that today we would call psoriasis or eczema, which in large amounts can be very painful, itchy, and unsightly. But Naaman eventually hears about someone who can help him heal, a prophet in Samaria. And you know that often in the Bible, it is those on the margins who are the heralds of God's power. Think of Jesus' mother Mary or John the Baptist. All earthly power pales in comparison to God's power. In this case, the source of this information was an Israeli slave girl. She is Naaman's exact opposite. He is free. She is a slave. He is powerful. She is weak. But having run out of options, he follows through on her suggestion and asks his king for permission to go and seek healing. And so he sets out for Israel. But he doesn't go to the prophet, another someone on the margins of society. No, he goes to the king of Israel carrying a letter from his master, the king of Aram. Because surely we know the powerful people are the ones who have the solution to his problem. Yet the king of Israel, in receiving this letter, is overwhelmed and distraught because he has no power, and he knows it, no power to cure leprosy. And he thinks that perhaps this is a setup, that the king of Aram is looking for a reason to go to war. So he is totally distraught, and he is tearing his clothes. But eventually, the prophet Elijah hears the king's dilemma and asks the king to send Naaman to him. And when Naaman arrives, the prophet doesn't come to meet him, but merely sends a messenger. And Elijah says, "To you who gives orders, I am giving an order. Go wash in the Jordan." This is insulting to Naaman. "What? You don't even come out to meet me? You offer no prayers and no laying on of hands. You want me to wash in foreign, dirty water?" That's my interpretation. But do you hear it in those words? The pride? The pride that is Naaman's greater affliction than the leprosy? The pride that is the roadblock that stands in the way of his healing? He won't do the hard thing. He won't lower himself. He won't be humble. He wants someone to do the work for him. Well, in today's society, it's the equivalent of asking or wanting a magic pill or a prescription from the doctor for what ails you, instead of doing the hard work yourself, like changing your diet, increasing your exercise, taking your medications regularly, getting more sleep, or stopping your drinking and smoking. Or we look for a quick fix financially rather than cutting up our credit cards, getting a part-time job, budgeting and cutting back on eating out, and stopping our frequent habit of making it so easy to order something on Amazon that gets put on our credit card, which increases our financial burden. We also resist talking to a therapist because it takes too long. What? It's going to take more than one session? Oh my God. And they never tell us what to do. They want to guide us in finding our own solutions. We resist going to AA meetings because we don't have a problem like those people do. We resist doing the work. We resist looking beyond the immediate. And we forget that rarely is healing or the solution we seek immediate. It was an unconventional healing, the belief in the power of God. Well, it was known to this Israeli servant girl. It was known to the prophet as well. And it was known to Naaman's servants, who finally break through his pride and gently ask him to do what the prophet asks. And then finally, Naaman concedes and comes to know firsthand the power, grace, and love of Israel's God. And like the psalmist Naaman could then say, "You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." I can only imagine what Naaman had to say when he returned home. So how are we like Naaman? Are you able to see God working in your life? Are you willing to commit to spending the time listening and looking for God, being open to God? Are you ever surprised by God? I know I am. Has being surprised by God ever caused you to change your mind or even your behavior? Are you even thankful, more thankful than ever, as a result of seeing God at work in your life or in the life of another person? Do you know that you can make a difference in someone's life by pointing them to Jesus, to this faith community, to the church, to the sacraments, and the power and love of God for all humankind right here in this place? There are lessons for us in these readings. We should not despair over the decreasing numbers of churchgoers. It only takes one person, each one of us, young and old alike. We're all important. Our readings for today are a timeless testimony that 70 people, or even just one committed disciple like that Israeli slave girl, or you and I, can make a great impact on the world, or in the life of even one person in need. So my question for you is, will you dare to be that one, to be bold, and go out and proclaim the gospel?